Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. The liturgical name for this Sunday is the Reign of Christ, or in the older version, Christ the King Sunday. We're coming to the end of our liturgical season. After a long season of Pentecost, this culminates the day where we celebrate the King who will come. I've struggled for many years to make sense of this text. There is something powerful about the imagery that we see in the text of this noble judge sitting upon a throne with those on the left and those on the right. It's an imagery of majesty and power, of riches, and all that that imagery evokes. But it is at the same time imagery that is coupled with the self-sacrificial sense that we have developed around our image of Christ. While this Sunday marks the end of the church year and we prepare ourselves for the advent of Jesus' birth, a kind of newness, there is something troubling here. We move from the long summer of Pentecost into what is supposed to be something new and shiny. And honestly, God knows we would like to put 2020 behind us and hope that Advent, with this incoming of Advent, that all things will indeed, as promised, be made new. But come the first Sunday of Advent, we will still have millions of people infected with COVID-19 who are sick, dying, and debilitated. On that shiny new Sunday, we will still have politicians arguing about election results and behaving in questionable ways. On that Sunday, unemployment will still be bad. We will have good days and we will have bad days, and then we have this text on top of everything that lays on just a little bit of guilt. We're not sure exactly whether we belong on the right or on the left. This text at the end of the Pentecost season seems to call us to question, for whom have we been merciful? Or have we? Honestly, as I looked at this text, I thought to myself, this would be a good Sunday to go fishing, because I just don't think any more pressure is needed. Well, maybe there's something more there. So often this text is interpreted as a way to kind of bully the ones who are not, we think, behaving in a way that is moral or acceptable to God. And I think the problem is that we see this text where Jesus says, I will separate the sheep from the goats, and the sheep will be on the right hand and the goats on the left hand. And then the king will say, come you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom of heaven. For when I was thirsty, you brought me food, and you know, you heard the text. And at the end of it, those who are on the right say, well, when did we do any of that? I just don't remember. And then those on the left are chastised. When I was hungry, you did not bring me food. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. And they, too, are as perplexed as the first group. The tendency is to make of this text a kind of moral measure for how we're supposed to be in the world, but most importantly, how we'll be ranked. How will I find my way into heaven? Well, I will feed poor people. And I will give people something to drink, and I will welcome them, and I will take care of the occasional sick person as if somehow that will stack up just enough points for me to dodge to the right instead of to the left. It's as if the kingdom is something that we can win, like scoring one more goal than your opponent in soccer, or one more like on Facebook than your sister. But what if it's not that at all? I think Ezekiel helps us flesh out this text just a little bit. In the text from Ezekiel, Ezekiel is talking to the people of Israel, and God says to them, "Look, I will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out, and I will set shepherds over them. I will feed them good pasture. I will do all of these things." And then at the end of the text, he says, "And I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep." In our text study, some of us took that a little bit personally. Fat sheep and lean sheep, because it says in the text, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. There's something powerful about understanding the fat sheep, the bully sheep, as being the one who has no mercy for those who are in their midst. You probably have no problem identifying who you would think of as the fat sheep, the bully. There's probably someone in your life who has pushed you out of the way, used you, made you feel irrelevant. But I wonder how much we can see of that in ourselves. I think at the core of what Jesus is getting at in this particular parable for Christ the King Sunday is not reducing our lives to a kind of moral formula, but understanding the wholeness of our life as a life of mercy, of being merciful to those who are around us, not for the sake of our own salvation, but because, as Luther says, because that has already been worked out, and we are free to be merciful in every way. Because you see, we don't have to reserve any of it for ourselves. It's already done. We're free with the abundant gift of being merciful to those who are around us, the hungry and the sick and the homeless, the powerless. Now, it's important to understand that it's not that we've been sort of filled up with all this grace and now we get to dole it out, as if somehow it is ours to give. God has already given it. In fact, if we really want to see the body of Christ, we will see it most clearly in those who are most in need. And if we're going to really understand this text, then it's important to understand that in our exchange of life with those in need, we are the ones who are receiving. It's difficult. It's difficult to participate in the kingdom if you always cast yourself as the king. It's difficult to participate in the kingdom or even in Christian service in any meaningful way until we can ourselves give up our agency and ourselves receive the grace of God. to see ourselves as both fat sheep and lean sheep. To see ourselves receiving the mercy of God even now. So the king says to those at his right hand and at his left, this kind of judgment that we want to put on others, but it is God's only to give. It is God who is making all things new, and we may not always see what it looks like. I promise you, or at least I doubt, maybe I'll be wrong, I hope I am, that come next Sunday everything will be shiny and new and perfect. But even if it isn't, what there is the shining grace of mercy that God has given us in this holy word. We may not understand the images of king and throne anymore, but we certainly understand the image of mercy and love. And so Christ is the king, I suppose. But the question may come whether Christ will be the ruler of our own hearts. And will we be able to see Christ, who is already present in all of the world, in our neighbor? May God bless and keep you on this day. And as we prepare for the new year, may we too receive the grace of God in fullness and in mercy. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day.